My mom cut my hair from the earliest days before I really remember and until I left after graduating from high school. She knew one style, front to back. It was it, just clippers, you know. It had an adapter head on it. She could leave a little bit, but mom knew one style. And all of us, I'm one of four boys, and we would sit in the chair and we would go, and we would be outlandish at times. You know, I want a mohawk. Mom says, fine. Okay. You know, I want a flat top. Good. I can do that. You know, and it was the same every time. Well, when I went to college then, my hair had gotten a little longer during high school. And for 1 year, I didn't have a haircut. And I went to a barber shop for the very first time, and my stomach was in knots. Now, you have to understand, for those of you who have gone to a barber shop from knee-high to a grasshopper and so forth, this is a no-brainer. I didn't know how to talk to the guy. I didn't know what to tell him. And so I had to tell him about mom and, you know, front to back and all of that. He just smiled, and I said, I don't know what to tell you to do with this. Because if you can imagine, I had a full head of hair. I know that's hard to believe, but yes, I did. And the hair that was here was down to here. And the hair in back was down on my shoulders. So I was what you might have called a hippie. A raggedy, straggly, split-end hippie, but it was long. And so I had my first haircut. Today's text reminds me of those days where it seems like in our society we have come to grips that we have the power of life and we can style this life any way we want. And so the barbershops of today have learned how to do all kinds of cuts, all kinds of styles. And the client comes in and he says, or she says, I want my hair this way. And you could even look in magazines and pick out kind of a style that might fit you or your preferences. But I want to tell you, that type of perspective about we can have it the way we want goes all the way back to this married couple, Adam and Eve. And you go back into the Old Testament, and you can find them. They're in the beginning. And there's this conversation. It's Adam and Eve and the one called the serpent. And the serpent comes at him with, and did God say, and he proposes a question that's a trick. Because God had said, this is your life. I have given you life. I have breathed in you the breath of life. Life did not come by your own creation, by your own fashioning. You were clay, you were dirt, and I formed you. You are nothing until I breathe into you. But the serpent has them question what God said. And they went along with that question. And they thought, now, I have life. I can have it styled the way I want. And I can know good and evil. And I can be like God. And I can, well, after that, I can do anything. And ever since then, humanity in a fallen world with a sinful nature in people and creation tainted with death because of sin, ever since then, man has stopped listening to what God said. And man has questioned what God said. And man has decided a different definition of life. Today, around the United States, is Life Sunday. Some will observe it next week as well. And when we think of life, we think of the most popular or unpopular topic, and that is abortion. And we sort of confine it to that. And that is a major issue. But I think the issue is just bigger than that, because it touches all of us in all phases of our life. It's about how do we see and view where our life came from? Do we manufacture it, or is life a gift from God? And when we start to think that we own it, and we have that phrase, and I probably said it as a teenager to my family, it's my life. I don't know if you've ever heard that one, you know. I'm not original, by the way. You know, it's my life. I can. And my parents thought, well, it is. You're responsible for the gift of life that God has given you. And if you do that, you are responsible for the consequences. But we don't teach that as much anymore, do we? And so in God's Word today, in the Old Testament reading, it reminds us about God. That God is the giver of life. And as you look at the words, you can see, listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named me. And it goes on to say how God fashioned, he made my mouth, and he put in me like a polished arrow, and in his quiver he hid me away. He said, you are my servant. Now we know that this speaks about Jesus, the suffering servant, but we also know, like in Jeremiah, it talks about how God knew him when he was in the womb. And then you get to sometimes when we're older, Paul reminds us that for me to live is for Christ, to die is gain. That our life from conception to even all eternity in heaven, our life belongs to God. In the explanation of the Apostles' Creed, you have those words about the second paragraph, the second article. You know, that Christ has redeemed me, body and soul, eyes and ears, and all my members. And it reminds us, each one of us, that our life is not simply in Christ. Our life is from Christ. Think about how are people in the Bible described when they have no relationship with God? Dead in sin. You never hear the word life. Do you? I don't know how we missed the memo. It's in there more than once. But I think we just close our eyes and we plug our ears. Just like we did when we were growing up and adults said the things we didn't want to hear and tried to teach us the things we didn't want to know. And so God reminds us again that this life that we have is his gift to us. And then it reminds us how vulnerable that life is because of our sinful nature. And yet he reminds us of the victory that we have in this life through Jesus Christ. And he reminds us that even though in this earthly life we face death, as in when Lazarus was raised from the dead, even though you die, yet you live. You will rise. So why is it such a problem for us? This thing called life. When did we become so much smarter than God? When did we become so much more powerful than God? When did all of a sudden God become compartmentalized, if you will? I have my political life, I have my occupation life, I have my vocation life, I have my family life, maybe, you know, and then I have my religion. And it's like these are not always so connected. We have compartmentalized. And it goes back to the garden when Adam and Eve sinned. And ever since then, we have been stiff-arming God. Today, I want to remind you that the life that you have, it's not about whether it's easy or whether you're supposed to be prospering or whether, you know, you are famous or all of that. The life you have is God's gift for His purpose. Now, initially, when I think about that, I think, man, is God selfish? He's got all of these lives, and they're just for Him? But you think about, what does He do for us? And indeed, He has given us body and soul, eyes and ears, and all of our members. He's given us food, meat, drink. He's given us air and seasons. He's given us crops year after year. He's given us all that we have and all that we are. He's designed us with talents, with skill sets, and He equips us even beyond our own abilities. He gives us all of this that we may live for Him and for the glory of His name. Life Sunday is not just about pro-choice, pro-life, and that way. Life Sunday is about we belong to God in the womb. We belong to God as little ones. We belong to God in our elementary school years, and we belong to God as high school students. We belong to God whether we're in college or never went to college, and we belong to God when we're in the workplace. We belong to God when we're in the wheelchair or we're bedfast and everything has to be done by caregivers. We belong to God. And when we die, as we have faith in Him, that we are saved from death and the devil and hell because we still belong to God. You see how much better and greater it is if we don't compartmentalize? If we recognize that it is God who forms us and God who knows us and God who provides for us and God who teaches us and God who nurtures us and God who strengthens us, and the list goes on and on. It becomes awesome, and I think a wonderful witness to the world when we live in such a way that it testifies we belong to God. My life is really the life He has given, and my purpose is the one He has set. And as always, to God be the glory. Amen.